Coming up on Smart Tech Today, Matthew Casanelli and I follow up on your grill thoughts. That's right. I get a lesson in why grilling makes sense, and it is about time, folks. Plus, we talk about a new app that will anonymize photos for you on your device. We're not uploading any servers or anything like that. And we talk about our favorite topic. What is it? Of course, it's smart blinds, plus so much more. Stay tuned. This is a Smart Tech Today episode you don't want to miss. Smart Tech Today is brought to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? Well, LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Molecule. Molecule is reimagining the future of clean air, starting with the air purifier. It's not just an innovation on existing technology, but a scientific breakthrough in air purification. For 10% off your first air purifier order, visit molecule.com and enter code STT. And by Casper. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets, Casper is transforming the way we sleep one snooze at a time. Save 10% on any mattress order or get $25 off when you spend $100 or more on great gifts for dad now through June 23rd. Visit Casper.com/STT and use the promo code STT at checkout. Welcome back to Smart Tech Today, the show where we explain the exciting, the dynamic, and the sometimes, well, confusing subject that is the Internet of Things. I am Micah Sargent.
And I am Matthew Casanelli.
Yeah, you are.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
Yeah. I am excited for WWDC next week, which is Apple's Developer Conference annual shindig. I guess it's all digital this time, but still exciting because for me, it's kind of like the end of my year right now and the beginning of it starting next time, just because, especially for shortcuts type stuff that I cover, it like all will, could potentially change. So it's kind of like a good time to start fresh with new like explanatory content and things like that. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to be doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we thought we would start the show off this week with a very, very, very important topic on all of our minds and in all of our hearts. And that is the fact that I don't understand grilling. And I did put out the call. I said, please, it is not that I am obstinate. I want to normalize the concept of being open-minded and having your mind changed. It's good to accept new facts. Yeah, exactly. One should be open to hearing how one is incorrect, or not necessarily incorrect in this case, but just ignorant.
Yeah,
and
you're
so
ignorant.
Yeah, I am. I'm ignorant to grilling and its benefits. And so it started with a tweet from @RobMill on Twitter, who said, grilling has multiple benefits over cooking indoors. There's flavor from the coal or the wood chips. There's the size of the cooking surface, and there's the fact that you are moving the heat of cooking from inside the house to outside the house, which of course is especially important during hot summer days or nights. And then Rob goes on to say, and probably more benefits. We'll throw out that last one because that is just a series of words that add up to nothing that's helpful to me. However, the first ones are very helpful. And I have to say, Rob, that you were also backed up by Leo Laporte, because the next day on iOS Today, Leo revealed that he has purchased a smart grill and will be buying a crap ton of wood chips and is going to be smoking and grilling meats on this new grill whenever it arrives. So
smoking meats. Nice.
Smoking meats and taking names. I will say this. The idea that you have a larger cooking surface on which to make your meats, that's excellent. That makes sense.
Yeah, that is good.
The idea of, in California, a lot of places don't have AC. I am blessed with the beauty that is AC in this home, thank God, or else I would be crying every single day of my life.
literally earlier today cooking, I was like, why am I so warm? It's like, oh yeah, because I just cooked over the gas oven. So,
and see, it even gets hot in my air conditioned home when I turn on the oven, not even the cooktop, but the oven, for making foods. And so I completely agree and accept that is also a great reason to grill, to cook food outside. Again, I come from the Midwest where everybody and their mother has AC, because you kind of have to if you want to survive there and not be miserable. And then the idea that you can impart flavors into the food is another reason for smoking these
there
meats.
There it is.
It's another reason for smoking these meats. Exactly.
The awkward Zuckerberg video. That's what I was like, did he get that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Reference was not acknowledged, but it is now acknowledged. So folks, I accept that those are all good reasons for grilling and can understand why one would want to cook outside. And perhaps there will come a day when I too have a shipment of a smart grill because of ridiculous reasoning that actually makes some sense.
I would use one. We have like a tiny, tiny little backyard space that is like pretty much only good for grilling. So who made the one that Leo reviewed?
You had to ask. Let's see. We're going to go to twit.tv/iOS. We're going to choose iOS Today, episode 502. And I was hoping I would see it there.
No, Micah. That was part of the Skype dropout.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I exported it as a separate clip. I'm not sure where it is.
Yeah. Okay. So the reason why that topic even came up was because my internet cut out. And so Leo was telling the world about his grill. And then I hopped back on and we ended up having a conversation about it afterward. But I can't remember. It was not the grill that we talked about, though. I will say that, which I thought was interesting. There's some other smart grill out there that I didn't know about. But
we can follow up third week.
Yeah, we'll follow up. It's connected to Wi-Fi and lets you know whenever the food's ready. So what about you? Did you come up with any other information you wanted to share with me about smart grills?
No, I was just curious if you had gotten that feedback. Pretty much like that is just like I think I said most of those things last week. So maybe you just don't believe it when you hear it from me, but that's okay.
Oh, wow. That's spicy.
I'm just kidding.
No. That's totally fair.
I mean, I thought there was like, I don't know, something else, but yeah.
No, that's
teach their own.
Those are good reasons. And in the moment, you know, when you're impassioned in the moment, then yeah, it does take a minute to sort of step back, breathe, and hear what someone has to say. So maybe that was the problem. I was too caught up in my beliefs about the ridiculousness of grills. But I definitely feel you whenever it comes to the heat thing. Stepping outside for that is great. Let's go ahead and move on to the next thing. So we had talked, it was two shows ago, I believe, about finding a way to take photos and, you're using it. Finding a way to take photos and blur them without having to download a third-party app. And there was someone who had created a way where they had used their own Amazon instance. And so they'd used their own little Amazon server dealy to do the processing of the photos in order to blur out the faces. And then the Signal app, the app that does private messaging, created a way for you to blur photos as well. Now there is an app that's out called Anonymous Camera. It's free, and then you can get the pro version for $1.99, which has some cool split screen features, and you can turn off the watermark. But Anonymous Camera, the cool thing about this is that it does the processing on device. So you are not having to worry about the photo being uploaded to some server somewhere. It uses the technology that's built into your iPhone to do the face tracking and blurring features. So as you can see here, I've got options for, if you're listening, it's just me showing the app on screen. I'm moving my face around and the app does a very good job of keeping the blur right there where it needs to be on my face. I can change it from a blur to a solid color if I'd like, or I can actually just show my face if I want to. And there are different options for doing just the head or doing the full body entirely. I can change the look of the solid. So we'll switch back and you can see that it's a sort of white noise effect, television static effect. If I wanted to do video, I can actually distort the audio so that it sounds, you know, one of those anonymous voices. And then what I love is the option to turn off all metadata. Important metadata. So that would be the location metadata and the timestamp metadata, which you can easily tap on the top to remove the location and remove the timestamp quite simply. And then the other effect that they have is a split screen effect, which when I turn my camera to the side, I can then set up a split screen that shows, I'm okay with showing my face, but the person who's with me does not want to. Watch what happens when I move my face to the other side of this line. It immediately starts to blur out my face. And so you can take photos with other people and keep them anonymous if you were taking a selfie or something like that. It's a pretty cool app. And like I said, most of this is available for free. You can see that split screen effect and turning off the watermark for the app are the two effects that you would pay for $1.99. Essentially, you're making a donation to the maker of the app as a way to support them. Again, this uses on-device processing, which is very cool, which means that you are not having to worry about these photos being uploaded to some server somewhere and processed and potentially stored or cached. It stays right there on the device. So I see you downloaded the app too, Matthew. What are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, that's cool. The full body stuff does only work with the back-facing camera. I always forget which. The way they describe that is always a little bit weird. But so you can't do like a selfie and have it block out your full face or your full body. I didn't even realize it took video because it's one of those like tap and hold to take video. So I thought it was just a camera thing. But the watermark part is pretty cool. And it is clever. The timestamp thing, they say in here, it sets the timestamp to January 1st, 1970, so that you can just tap to scroll to the top of your camera roll, and then you'll find your footage there. So it's kind of like, not just like has no metadata, but like a clever hack so that you can always find it at like the furthest part of your camera roll. But that's pretty smart. Yeah, it seems good. I want more apps like this because there's always like just different specific ways that you might want to use it or like add it to your old footage or something like that. But we'll probably see more and more of these over time.
I think so. I think that this was a very, very clean, very well done first take on it. And at least for me, it's going to take a lot to sort of unseat this because it's so clear up front the privacy that goes into this and just the simplicity of here's all the features that you need. And it has them all right there so simply. So I really like it. I think the maker of this app did a very good job for sure. All right. What's next?
All of our friendly assistants and their responses when you use Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, which is a kind of an interesting story. Hopefully most people aren't using the second one, but, basically pretty much all of them now have like, originally they had some responses to like the, what they would say, and it was sort of generic, but now a lot of the assistants have a lot more detailed responses. But sort of the criticism is that like Amazon's assistant, if you say All Lives Matter, she says something generic about like, I think everybody deserves to be treated with fairness, dignity, and respect. And it's like the other ones have now taken a stand. They're like, this is a phrase that's used in response to Black Lives Matter, but actually isn't talking about the same type of things, which I thought is just like kind of awesome coming from Siri or Google Assistant. But this is kind of another nice way to see tech companies jumping in and actually making a tiny little difference the way that they can.
Yeah. And see, here's the fascinating thing to me about all of this. Or I shouldn't say fascinating thing. I think one of the important concepts to understand here for me as an individual, of course, I can only speak for myself. And, you know, I hope that that's clear. I know that there are often criticisms involved with companies making making what could be seen as hollow gestures and hollow statements. But what I feel is important is that companies do what they can with the power that they have. And this is one place where these companies have power. And if they're putting their literal money where their mouth is in other ways, you know, I think it's Apple that has the $100 million that they are putting toward toward these initiatives. And Google, I'm not sure what Google's doing, and Amazon needs a lot of work. but these companies...
They're taking a year off of helping the police. Sorry, just keep going. And no, yeah, you could have almost heard Micah's eye roll there.
Yeah. Don't get me started. So those things, I think if you are putting your money where your mouth is in other ways, then this is to be celebrated too, because at the very least, it is making this information available to more people. I think of Nickelodeon, and I know that's not a tech company, but I think of Nickelodeon and the choice to display the messages that they did to young kids to say, you know, everybody deserves to be treated with respect and should feel safe and loved. And I can't remember exactly what the message was, but it was a really well-written message. And there were so many young people around the, you know, world who got to hear that message or see that message. And I think that that is powerful. Choosing to do nothing versus doing a thing where they have power to do, I celebrate that. So I think it was good. I'm happy that, this is, if you didn't see this, this is so cool. It was a Declaration of Kids' Rights. And it just kind of made me go, how can anyone, no matter what sort of quote unquote, I say side in the biggest scare quotes possible, because this shouldn't be a side thing, but exactly. How could anyone on any side not look at those rights, those kids' rights? How could they look at those and say that, you know, that's wrong? You in theory, you shouldn't be able to look at those and say that's wrong. A kid should not feel this way, should not believe this. And so it was just like beautifully, perfectly put. And I think that the same applies to a smart assistant sort of making this information available to people so that they can learn about and read about it. Because you may have the belief and the misunderstanding about what Black Lives Matter means versus what All Lives Matter means and how those two interact and do not interact and overlap and do not overlap. But if you're inundated with the education of that topic everywhere, where you sort of can't escape into a bubble where your beliefs are being reinforced, then I think at some point you kind of have to be forced to listen to what's being said. And at that point, hopefully you can come to understand what it means. And I know that there will always be folks where that is never the case, but at the very least, I'm happy to see that, you know, this is being shared everywhere and is leading to people, more people learning the true meaning behind these statements.
Cause it even, I mean, it does remind me of my interaction with my cousin that I thought was like posting something about like not understanding Black Lives Matter. And I posted some video of somebody else explaining it in a good way, kind of like this, of just that's like, it's not about the same kind of thing. And here's like more information. And that went well. Like, I think there is even what we're saying in a much more silly way about grilling is just like some people are just like unaware of what the what it like actually means. And once you get more education, you can change your mind. So that's hopefully the role that digital assistants can provide in our lives, not just helping us with doing stuff, but like understanding more than we could otherwise. So I'd say that's a win.
Beautifully put. And then Yelp is also hopping on the train with a tool that lets you search for black owned businesses. This was one of the suggestions that folks have made to help sort of, again, this is putting your money where your mouth is kind of thing. There's an app called Get Okra that Leo had shared on iOS Today not too long ago. And it does a similar thing. It helps you find black-owned businesses in your area and support those businesses. So if you're looking for that opportunity and you want to support black-owned businesses, then that is what Yelp is looking to do as well, which I think is, again, a pretty fantastic offering there for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see this filter made available and made available for not only black folks, but multiple disenfranchised groups, marginalized groups, because there are groups outside of my own that I would love to support for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it is Yelp also donated $500,000 to the Equal Justice Initiative and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. And even to give them more credit, they did back in February for Black History Month have like the decals for black owned business. So store owners can like literally put it on their front of their store as well. But yeah, cool.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break before we come back with some more news. So I can tell you about Molecule, who are bringing you this episode of Smart Tech Today. Look, we are all spending a lot more time indoors. My sinuses are definitely saying that. I have noticed that I have had to run my humidifier, for example, a lot more frequently because AC plus being indoors equals a very, very, very dry area. So I'm reminded constantly of us all having to be indoors. And did you know that indoor air can be up to 5 times worse than outdoor air, according to the EPA? That's why Molecule is reimagining the future of clean air, starting with the air purifier. Molecule is not just innovation on existing technology, but a scientific breakthrough in air purification. Molecule's core technology, its PECO, or photoelectrochemical oxidation, actually destroys harmful pollutants in the air like viruses and bacteria, mold, and chemicals instead of just collecting them on filters. Molecule air purifiers are designed to help protect homes, businesses, and medical spaces so you know they're destroying pollutants and providing clean air. Molecule air purifiers are designed for large rooms up to 600 square feet in size. The Air Mini is designed for small rooms up to 250 square feet. The Air Mini Plus helps protect small rooms with a particle sensor and auto protect mode, which adjusts the fan speed based on the sensor. And then there's the Molecule Air Pro RX, an FDA cleared 510K Class 2 medical device intended for medical purposes to destroy bacteria and viruses in the air. Molecule's technology and filtration systems have been tested and verified by independent third-party labs for the whole home and beyond. For 10% off your first air purifier order, visit molecule.com and enter the code STT at checkout. That's MOLEKULE.com and enter the code STT. Our thanks to Molecule for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today. Everyone with a Sonos machine, a Sonos speaker, a Sonos brick can breathe easy because the new Sonos app and S2 update are available now. You are our resident Sonos expert, Matthew, so I'm going to let you tell us about what we can expect in this new Sonos update.
Well, what's lovely is I'm sitting right on the line between the compatibility and incompatibility of speakers. So I suppose this is why they were trying to do all that stuff they were doing earlier this year with getting everybody to upgrade and then wrongly forcing people's speakers into bricks, like you were joking about. But now it's kind of like, this is probably, I mean, it's obviously what they were leading towards, like S2, whatever, the Sonos version 2 of their speaker system and things like that, that connects it all together. But basically, I am left in the dust because I have, there's a little chart on The Verge's article of S2 compatible products and not S2 compatible. And the one large speaker that I have is not compatible. I have like the Play 5 Generation 1. I am surprised, actually, first of all, just that the Play 3 that I have does work. So it's like slightly less old. And I'm pretty sure the one that I have was made in 2011. So that is a pretty solid length of life. But basically now it's like a complication where I have to decide whether or not I want to use the old service and kind of just like not get any of the new features that they have, or split my speaker system apart and maybe I will end up upgrading. I feel like the end is near, unfortunately. But I'm not there yet. I think I'm going to just try to hobble by as best I can, but we'll see if there's any new features. I mean, in general, this does kind of tie in together with Google Assistant is doing voice match on compatible products outside. And I don't think they've officially said Sonos yet, but it's kind of from the stories that I saw is rumor that they're going to be the first partners because all of the voice assistant integrations on the newer devices don't have that. And so it is like a little incompatible with how people use their normal systems. But yeah, it's kind of just like a new way to be like officially cut off the old products and move forward with a new app.
But yeah. Yeah. So I think it's fascinating to watch a company who, or I should say that, doesn't exist in the smart space, the current smart speaker space, attempt to enter the smart speaker space in some way, and what they choose to bring to the table to make it a valuable enough product that people are going to buy it. And all of that is my preamble to talk about our next topic, which is Belkin's new, it's called the Soundform Elite Smart Speaker, which has, I don't even know how to pronounce the name of that company, I have to be honest with you, but I have seen that company enough to know that that is, it's DVLA or something like that.
Yeah.
DVLA, yeah, exactly. To know that is a big thing to say, you know, you're using that audio base. And So Belkin says, you know what, we're going to make a smart speaker. We're going to use this premium sound design and we're going to put a wireless charging pad on top of the speaker. And all of these things will hopefully lead you to purchasing this smart speaker over a first party smart speaker. From, in this case, it would be Google, as this offers integration with the Google Assistant. So I really do like a wireless charging device as the value add there. But this is a weird looking device.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's really weird looking.
Clarify what this looks like. It's basically a HomePod or that type of smart speaker with like the top third chopped off at an angle, and then in that spot, instead of just kind of being like the top, there's a charging pad at an angle for your phone, a Qi charging pad, so you can just set your phone down.
Dr. Eggman's chair.
Yeah, and I actually, the reason I really wanted to put this in was I saw this at CES and tested it out. And they were like, I mean, I don't know DVLA either, but apparently they're like audiophile level quality stuff. And it sounded really nice. So it is like a pretty interesting product. And even in the way of anytime you put a Qi charger somewhere, it's basically just like that space is now gone. So this is just kind of like a 2-in-1 at the same time. And I'm pretty sure I'm verified, but I'm pretty sure you can set up two of them from what I remember. So you can like, if you're in the Google Assistant ecosystem, use these as like a Nest. What are they called now? I can't even remember the giant Max Google speakers.
It is like
a higher quality thing there, but yeah, it is kind of, it is. I mean, Sonos was, it sounded like for a while, a couple of years ago, that they were dipping into like making their own assistant and it just being like voice control technology. But it sounds like they gave that up, which I think is probably better. It is kind of interesting, just Sonos in general. Ever since the HomePod came out, like, I just remember, I specifically remember studying luxury brands and marketing classes in college, and mm-hmm. how like they never do discounts because that just kind of like erodes the products. It's just like, oh, you can get them for, it's like a coupon for your Sonos. It just doesn't fit with like the style that they have set up. And so I felt like they've kind of been stumbling, but I think even in the long run though, now that, with a little bit of perspective from their mistake a couple of months ago, it's like, I think they kind of will be able to come through it because Sonos still is like, you people know that name. Like, yeah, we can't even say DVLA. And like, so Sonos is like one of the big ones. And just like the compatibility across ecosystems. We'll see. I hope something like they get better Apple support, but who knows? That's until next time, I guess, because WWDC is coming soon. So we will actually know. Oh, or at least wait, have to hypothesize for another year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Now, this is, and this goes into what I was just talking about with first party versus third party devices that offer smart assistant features, because Amazon's voice services on different devices that purport to have, that claim rather to have Alexa built in, they all offer different flavors of built-in Alexa. And the an example here would be, I've got some Ecobee smart switches. So they're literally switches that are wired in, and they have a little speaker and microphone built into them that has Alexa. So I can talk to any one of those, as well as, you know, having it just turn on and off my lights. But they, it does not offer all of the same features as an actual Echo device. It doesn't have all the same features as an Echo show. It has more or less features from some the Amazon smart oven that I have. And depending, oh, and another third party product I have called, it's from Cavalier Audio, and it's a sort of, it tries to be an all-in-one, sit on your bedside table, charge your phone, but also have Alexa built in. And they all have different flavors and different features that make them not as good as just having first party products. And so there's a new report from The Verge that's talking about, well, in fact, it was originally from the company that says, hey, Google Assistant features are coming to all of the smart devices, which means that voice match will be available on more smart speakers. You can adjust hot word sensitivity on more smart speakers and then choose your default speaker across more of your smart devices. However, I look at this and I'm skeptical because Amazon at one point released an update that they said was going to be coming to all of the Alexa built-in devices that would, it was a sort of proximity regulator. And so if I was talking to that Ecobee smart switch on the wall, then the show down the hallway wouldn't trigger whenever I said Alexa, or it would trigger, but it would immediately shut off because it knew that I was talking to the thing that was closest. Unfortunately, it doesn't all have that feature. And so some of those things don't actually shut off whenever I'm talking to one or the other. And
oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And so in fact, what it's resulted in is I don't use Alexa a lot anyway. But I specifically don't use it on those little Ecobee smart switches because I didn't install them for that. I installed it for the smart functionality that it has built into it. So all of that is to say that I'm a little skeptical that Google's saying that they're going to be bringing Google Assistant features to all smart devices. We'll see, because some of them just aren't capable of doing that. And some of them, it may take a long time, including this Belkin Soundform Elite smart speaker that we just talked about. How long until the firmware is updated to actually provide the latest Google Assistant features?
Yeah, well, that might be why Google's post was scant on details. They're like, we're doing it. But I mean, I still think at least it's something that they're publicly committing to. So now maybe people can hold them to task for it more or something like that. And just like making it more technically possible for those developers to add it is good. But yeah, it is. That's one of the things for Amazon when you come out with 750 assistant enabled products. It's not always easy to get them all updated and up to par later. They definitely sort of flooded things. So, and I was also totally going to like smugly be like, well, Siri is the same on all devices, but that's definitely not true. So that is something that I would like to see at WWDC is, I don't know.
You're cheating. You keep saying this, you're cheating. We're not there yet.
I know. Okay.
We're not to the project section.
I'll leave it. I will leave the details for later.
Thank
but that's
you.
Yeah.
So let's talk about smart blinds, because that's one of my favorite topics in general. Lutron has some very expensive blinds.
Yeah.
Let's
just start out with that part.
Yeah. Typically,
what are they,
$600
for like one window? Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you're talking about smart blinds, unless you're talking about IKEA's, you need to head it off with very expensive. And this is one of those options. But what a cool idea. Yeah. They call it natural light optimization. And what happens is the smart blinds will track the sun and its position in the sky and will use that information to change the state of your blinds, more opened or more closed, change the angle of your blinds to provide for a more consistent experience and lighting in your house. So it can help block direct light shining through into your home if you don't want that, and bring in more light when the sun is in a different place. I love the idea, and I hope that some very smart individual out there can figure out a way to add this as a feature to less expensive, aka IKEA, smart blinds. Hmm. But until that happens, this is one way to make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I was thinking like you could just time it yourself. But part of their thing is like, if you didn't catch that they're wood blinds. And so they literally rotate the angle of like the light coming through depending on the light, which is amazing. So it's like, cause I mean, we do this regularly in our house just to, it depends, like during the summer, we'll close the windows just so that the sun doesn't heat up the inside of the house, cause we don't have air conditioning. So this type of thing would be cool. It's like, if it is just the angle, I wish it had like a sensor or something too, because just being in the shade or something might make that unnecessary, but it's pretty clever. Like, this is just like one of those pure IoT things that's like the shades can rotate themselves based off of the direction of the sunlight on your house, which is just like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But it's going to cost you like $4,000.
Right. And this is the thing too. This is one of those features that I think folks would at first roll their eyes at, as a concept of this is smart tech that do you really need? And I agree, it's something that's not really needed. However, when we talk about smart tech and we talk about how it could be beneficial going forward, as these features and ideas become less expensive over time, as the technology gets a little bit less expensive, these are the kinds of concepts that make the smart home, I think, so much more valuable, because there I hate to speak about the inevitability of tech, because most tech is not inevitable, but there could come a day where something like this is just something that everybody has automatically. It's just a feature that every home would have automatically. And at that point, it becomes something that everybody goes, I don't even remember a time when we didn't have this. And I really enjoy the fact that I don't have to think about changing the way that my blinds are set up. So right now, yes, especially when we speak about excess and how much it costs to do this, I think in that sense, this is a little ridiculous. But when I read this story and saw this thing, it was an exciting moment for me because it spoke to, there's sometimes when I get a little bit down about the smart home, because I think about like the ridiculousness of some of the things that I have and the overall simplicity of the smart home and how, what am I doing really other than turning on and off a light from a phone instead of turning on and off a light just at the switch. But this technology, it's using this constant in our life, which is the sun moving across the sky and making our lives better using that idea and that concept. And to me, that is brilliant. That is what makes me excited about the smart home. It's ideas like that that really bring home the value of this technology. And so once we get to a place where that doesn't cost us an arm and a leg, then I think that we, you know, can really speak to the true value of the smart home.
Mm-hmm. Also, just to I think the article has some funny lines about if you're an art collector, it can close so that it doesn't fade the paint. But otherwise, there is furniture fade is a real thing too. But I agree. It's at a certain point when you are making a home and depending on your needs, something like this could get more realistic. It's mm-hmm. not all of, especially you and I are relatively young still. And it's not all of life is we don't have money. So hopefully people are that does speak to just sort of the entire economy type stuff. But these will get more and more realistic for people over time. And just as it's been around for years and years, it'll just be in homes. So this is cool. I'm almost mad that I didn't think of something like this for shortcuts, because that's the type of thing that is awesome. I think it's also just truly automated, where at a certain point you won't even ever interact with it. It just does it for you, those are great. Mm-hmm.
That's the world that I want to get to at some point. let's talk about automation now. Wired has a really excellent piece out about how the pandemic that we're living in, frankly, is because many more people are working from home or are trying to find ways to improve upon the experiences of places where we would normally have to gather, it's resulting in a new wave of automation and improvement upon technology for automation. And so, of course, with that comes companies looking at ways to add even more robotics and automation to their systems. And as it is, this show is all about smart stuff in general, and automation is absolutely a part of that. I love watching future movies and future shows where they try to imagine or reading even. There's a series of books that I've been enjoying just for fun, and it's part of a series called The Detroit Free Zone. And in this Detroit Free Zone, there are restaurants that you go to. And you walk in and you sit down and you're the only person there, and you can sort of just place an order for a meal, and it, you know, the system makes it for you and sort of spits it out and you have it there to eat. And it's essentially TV dinners, but automated and in a public place. And the clothes too, you can sort of go to a vending machine and get a shirt and jeans or whatever clothes you might need. And I love these concepts and thinking or seeing how different people think about automation and what they see as automation. But I think that it's so different from what we actually in real life are being faced with. And so that too, sort of that divide between the two, I think is interesting. And this Wired article kind of goes into that and talking about the big pharma and how we sort of are handling treatments and tests and, you know, trying to figure out paperwork and all of those things and how to make that a lot easier and more automated. So, I mean, everything has opportunities for automation, but then we have to look at the good and the bad of that, right?
Yeah. Have you heard of ITSA? It's a
ITSA. No.
Yeah. It's an automated restaurant that was in San Francisco. I think it failed. but I went there a couple of times a couple of years ago, and it is like you like poke in what you want and then you like open the basically like Amazon delivery box and then out comes your little meal. And I'm pretty sure they have robots making them. But it was kind of fascinating. It was good. And it had like long line. I mean, that's San Francisco, I guess, but, that was pretty fascinating. But this article, it sounds like what I'm doing like, every day, basically. Theirs is about, the Wired article is about this company called like UiPath that basically tracks what you're doing by like opening a file. It like, or it teaches, I think what I like about this article is the software is teaching people to use automation in their jobs. It's not replacing them with automation. And I think that's very much what I believe in of just like myself of using automation to augment what you can personally do without having to just like slog through hours and hours of the same task over and over again. Like it says about just like filling out forms and then copying and pasting information. It's like, this is what I do in shortcuts every single day of like, ask myself a question. And then I, whatever I type in as the answer can be copied and pasted into the next field and things like that. And I just like that it is like accelerating your own personal potential and what you can do with stuff, not like ITSA replacing the chef with a robot that then sends it out to you in a little box, which is like very much more impersonal and really hard to get right. I think that's the other thing is like teaching a person to use automation to improve their own process is much more realistic than like a computer figuring it out. And just being able to like improve it over time in your particular ways. And that actually does lead into another article that we didn't get to last week about how Apple has been doing tested automated manufacturing since probably around 2012. Like they're testing whether or not it works. And they found that for some of the products that they use. Oh yeah. And also I should qualify that this is reported by the information. So it's not necessarily like Apple saying that they're doing this, but sort of inside looks. But part of it was that some of the screws that they use in iPhones are just so tiny that the robots didn't have a way to measure the force used to turn them. Like they're so small and it's just like a little tiny little bit. And the machines weren't able to get like that sensitive, but a person using their hands and like their finger can feel that. And I thought that was just like, fascinating that they were like, you're just the human brain. I mean, like, cause it is, computers are not inherently intelligent. Like we make them very good by measuring like little things and getting more and more specific, but it's just like fascinating that like the well-trained workers were better at it and more efficient. And it was like the robots trying to do it are like, I mean, you can see it was like iPhones are so tiny and they're like trying to hold it and turn it and then screw it in or something. And like, this is maybe slightly gross, but whenever I'm cooking, like sometimes if I'm not sure if something's clean, I just feel the pan because I can tell it's like, there's a tiny little spot there that I would have missed. But just like visually, I can't necessarily see it or something. So I always, it's like the tiny little sensitivities that you have in your body are more efficient. So I thought that was kind of cool here. It's like two strikes against like automated robotics and like instead strikes or like positives towards people enhancing the technology and doing it, like being better than that.
And before we head on to our little project sort of thing, our exercise, we'll say, I want to tell you all about Casper, which is bringing you this episode of Smart Tech Today. Listen, you've all heard about Casper. You know the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at, well, not so outrageous prices. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets, Casper is transforming the way we sleep one snooze at a time. Truly they are. And guess what? Now you can help Dad upgrade to the comfort of Casper with Casper's Father's Day sale. The original mattress provides the support and cooling you need with the comfort you love. That's the one I have still to this day because it's excellent and has done me so well. Its breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And of course, Casper's products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort for all kinds of bodies. There are four layers of premium foam that are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. And you can even keep your back aligned with zoned support, which is designed to provide extra support for all of your body. I love my Casper mattress. The unboxing experience was great because you don't have this huge mattress. You have to figure out how to move through different places. You just get this little box. You take that box into the space where you're going to put the mattress itself. Unlike Leo, who opened his in his entryway, a little bit of a mistake there. I suggest opening yours in the room where you're going to put your Casper mattress and then let it breathe in. And then you get to breathe out as you lay down on that. It's fantastic. Across Casper's website, Amazon, and Google, Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress with over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars. There's bedding. There's bed frames. There's even a dog bed. Casper has everything you need to complete your dream bedroom. And as always, free shipping and no contact delivery. Get your dad the sleep comfort he deserves. Save 10% on any mattress order or get $25 off when you spend $100 or more on great gifts for dad now through June 23rd. That's a special deal. Visit casper.com/STT and use the promo code STT at checkout. That's casper.com/STT and use the promo code STT. That offer excludes bundles, the Element mattress, and sale items. Limit one offer per customer in order. And please see casper.com/terms for additional terms and conditions. Our thanks to Casper, not only for helping me sleep well at night, but also for this great deal for Dad. And thank you for supporting this week's episode of Smart Tech Today. Alrighty. We have a little special topic because WWDC is just around the corner. That's Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. And so we thought we'd talk about what we want to see at WWDC for smart home technology. I think I'll go first, then you go. So that way I can take my pick of the week first. So, sure. The big thing that I would like to see for smart homes, and I'm just going to choose this one thing, is something that we have seen from the other smart assistant platforms. The Google Assistant and Amazon's Echo system have both provided a feature set that learns from your smart home habits and then provide suggestions based on what it's learned from your smart home habits. So let me give you an example. Say every day between the hours of 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., I turn on the lights, the smart lights in my living room, and set them to a nice, warm 2700K, and I set them at 30% brightness. And at the same time, I turn on my Apple TV and I launch the Apple TV app. And then say at 8 a.m. the next morning, I turn on the lights in my master bedroom and I turn off the overhead fan and I lower the raise the temperature on my air conditioning. Over time, if I were to use Amazon's platform to do so, it starts to learn that and then can use that information to start to automate those experiences for me, basically offering suggestions for things I do every time. And it says, hey, I've noticed you've done this every single day for the past 2 weeks. Would you like me to just do that for you instead? And then I say, well, yes, I would. That would be fantastic. And then
by
say,
golly,
by goodness, by golly. Now, keep in mind that I am an iOS, primarily an iOS user. I do all of my stuff on a Mac. I use Apple's platform for calendaring, and Siri starts to recognize that every time there is an event on my calendar that's called podcasts, I turn on some lights in my office, and I turn on Do Not Disturb on my devices, and I do a couple of other things. Then Siri can go, oh, I understand that you do this every single time that you have a show. Let me integrate the smart home into those Siri suggestions a little bit more than is already available, and provides for a more automated smart home. That's what I want to see. Siri already does some of this stuff. I see suggestions regularly for, oh, you have an event coming up. Would you like me to turn on Do Not Disturb? But I wanted to go the extra step, and I want to see Siri combine with HomeKit to provide suggestions in my smart home at a more granular level. And I know I said I was only going to do one, but I just thought of another, and I'm sorry if it's going to be one that's yours.
That's fine.
But here we go. This is the other thing that I really want to see. I've got the latest iPhone, and in this iPhone is a little microchip called the UWB chip, the ultra wideband chip. And the ultra wideband chip is essentially a way to track location at a very, very, very granular level, very detailed level. So my position in a space, in a house, or in relation to a room is a lot more trackable than is currently possible with using Bluetooth signals or Wi-Fi signals based on where I am in the space, or GPS, given the fact that I'm inside of a house and the satellites are outside.
It's kind of like a metal detector for
other
iPhone type things. Yeah.
Yeah. And so given that I have that chip in my phone, I want room to room automations. I want room to room automations. I don't want it based on motion detection. I don't want it based on occupancy. I don't want it based on whether or not I turn on a smart switch in a space. I want a thing that says, I know that you are in this room, and I know that you are even as far as I know you're sitting at your desk right now, if I wanted it to be that detailed, although I don't need it to be, but it would be really cool if it could be. But I know you're in this room, and therefore I'm going to turn on the lights in that space, because I don't have those automations currently set up using motion detectors, because every once in a while I'd have to do one of these to let the motion detector or the occupancy sensor know that I'm still in the space. I don't want that. I want it to know, based on the position of my phone, the exact location down to millimeter precision of my phone, to say, you are in that room. What I'd really love is if it was on my Apple Watch, but that doesn't currently have a UWB chip in it, so not possible. You're in that space, and so I'm going to go ahead and turn on those lights, and then when the phone moves out of that space, then I'm going to turn off those lights, unless it appears that there's another person in that room, in which case I'll leave the lights on or what have you. So UWB integration for the smart home, and a Siri that pays closer attention to how I use my smart home and offers automations based on that. Those are the two things that I want to see at WWDC. We shall see if that happens. Now, Matthew, what are your two things, or your things? Not just two, if you have more.
I will say I as well would like those things, especially the first one. And naturally, me being me, I would like that with shortcuts as well, because it's all kind of in the same boat. So seeing that type of thing where, like, as you use stuff, I mean, it technically has some of that in the shortcuts gallery, where it should suggest to you shortcuts based off of activity that you're doing, but I would want to see like full scripts and things like that. That would be cool. I think my main feature would be, I don't know if necessarily the main feature, but there's many, many things that I'd want related to shortcuts. So I don't think I'll necessarily list all those here, but I just want Siri parity across all of the platforms. Like we were saying, like I want it to really be that, like right now, Siri does kind of live on each individual device and they've gotten better at, it's not like there's many Siris, but they're all like one part of the master Siri. But I just want it to be able, like, you don't have to worry about which device you're using. Like right now, if I try to run a shortcut on a HomePod, sometimes it'll just be like, I can't do that. So I wish it could almost like disambiguate which device to reply to or have like a smoother. I'm pretty sure none of my shortcuts actually ever open onto my iPhone when I run them from the HomePod. But even just like what we were saying before about the other products is like, if you ask the Apple TV to do certain things, it won't be able to do it. And just like kind of getting rid of that for everybody and having the ability to run your shortcuts from those other devices. Cause I think that's hopefully going to be something that will be more key into this ecosystem and just like not worrying that, oh, because I tried to speak to my iPad, it can't run the thing that is on my iPhone that has the health app or something like that.
Right.
So some sort of way that it can understand and like hand it off to the right location or something, that would be really nice. But there's a lot I want to see at WWDC, like the UWB thing that totally, I basically forgot about that. So that would be awesome. There's like rumors of AirTag type things. So like if you could have that on your desk and when you sit down, like all your lights, like, because Shortcuts has the features in there that could enable that to like move to the next level. And there is even NFC tag things. So in many ways, it's like, hopefully like right over the ledge. Like this is like the worst week for me because I can't think of like anything new because I'm just like, I just have to wait until I see what comes out.
Right.
But also I do want to direct people towards a thread that I tweeted that I said, here's my full list of WWDC predictions. I'm not sure. Did you see that, Micah? Ooh,
predictions. So not just what you want to see, but what you think is going to be announced at WWDC.
Make sure you check what it is because, and everybody should click into the links and make sure to go to the last tweet in the thread and click on that one as well.
Yes!
And that's all I'm going to say.
I love it.
This definitely check the show notes for that one.
I love it. Thank you.
We can follow up more next week to give people details, but I suggest you check it out first.
Yeah, definitely go click on that link to see your WWDC predictions. I love it. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to our picks of the week. I will be going first. Listen, I know that this is not an every person item and not something that everybody can afford. But as smart home enthusiasts or smart device enthusiasts, I want to talk about the Elgato Stream Deck. It starts at $99.99. That's the smallest one, and then goes up from there depending on how many buttons you have. But what you have is basically a series of tiny little screens, although I'm sure that if I were to take it apart, it's just one big screen that's been split into multiple different tiny screens that let you make little actions in each of those little buttons. And that maybe seems a little unclear, but let me explain. So for example, my Stream Deck that I have here in the top left corner, I have a button that I've created that lets me turn on and off the Philips Hue lights that I have on either side of my desk. So I've got some LED panels that provide for brighter lighting, but then I have some little Philips Hue bulb, or not bulbs, but I'll just show you. These little dealies, Philips Hue Go, I believe is what they're called. Anyway, that I face directly at my face to provide some more full lighting, whereas the big LED panels are more for diffusing. And so with the click of a button on my Stream Deck, I can turn those off and on very simply. Nice. Now, that is one of the buttons on my Stream Deck. I also have one that shows the current CPU usage of my Mac. I've got one that it's a button with a Twit logo. And when I press it, it launches all of the applications that I use in order to do an episode of any episode of a Twit show. So it launches Skype, it launches Ecamm Live, it launches my browser to certain websites that I need to go to. And I've put little timers in between so that Ecamm Live has to launch before Skype, or else Skype sometimes won't show that Ecamm Live is an option for the camera. And so
that might be happening to me.
Yeah,
I haven't been able to get that out. Ecamm to work with Skype, so that's good to know, actually.
Definitely check that out. And then I have one for I do a D&D podcast every Tuesday. We haven't done it the past two Tuesdays because of everything that's been going on, in respect for not distracting people from things that, you know, need to be heard and seen. But I've got a button here that when I press it, it also launches the different apps that I use, and then also launches the websites that I use, including my character sheet online and things like that. And then it's also the way that I switch between my different screens. So I can pull up my iPhone with the press of a button, or pull up my iPad if I had that plugged in right now. And then some other buttons that switch between different modes and things like that. So lots of different buttons that do different things. But the cool thing is it has plugins that let you control other stuff outside of just what's on your computer. So like I said, those Philips Hue bulbs, that is through a Philips Hue plugin that I have that lets me turn on and off those two Philips Hue lights that I have sitting on my desk. And there are loads of different plugins that do different things. It goes past just being able to launch apps or launch websites and providing for timers and things like that. So there's so many different options with this that if you are into automation and you work at your desk a lot, you should definitely check this out. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Elgato Stream Deck app, which will work on an iPhone. I think it might work on an iPad, but I'm not 100% on that. And offers the same functionality. It just does it over Wi-Fi. And the cool thing about the app that I'm not sure if it's possible in, Matthew, you're the person to correct me on this. I'm not sure if it's possible with the physical device itself, but is possible with the app, is a way to trigger shortcuts. So you can do Siri shortcuts using the app. Oh, and I didn't think about this, but I can show my thing here. So you can see the Twit logo. Oh, yeah, nice.
In the bottom left.
And then the TPK logo that I've created there. And then some of my other, like I custom made these icons for my Philips Hue. So this is on, and then off. Is the same thing, but with it blackened.
And you can have the
current CPU usage.
The icon toggles to physically show, too, that it's on and off.
Between the two, so you can see what it does.
Yes, yeah. Well, my pick of the week was also the Stream Deck. Because I was like, man, I love this thing. And it feels like, I mean, it's definitely, even just the branding is like for streamers. And so I feel like it just kind of went by unnoticed with the Mac community, but I'm surprised, like, I haven't heard more people who are into, like, I mean, it's really good for Keyboard Maestro is a tool that on the Mac OS you can create like tons of really powerful scripting type stuff visually. And so it's for people like me basically who aren't coders, but love to do scripting type of stuff. But then they also have like a whole plugin ecosystem. And so I have a link to Stream Deck plugins, and it goes through a bunch of lists for Windows and Mac, which is great because there's some unique to Windows and some unique to Mac. Like as you're looking at a file, you can have Finder color tags applied. So like green, blue, red, yellow, like I have those for work and personal type things. And so as I'm like I'm using the arrow keys to look through my files in the Finder, I can tag them quickly with the thing in front of me. I, of course, being me. So one thing is every single key on a Stream Deck can also be a folder. And then every key inside that folder can also be another folder. And I'm pretty I don't know how infinitely you can go, but you can basically have infinite folders. And then the other thing that you can do is have profiles for the Stream Deck where if one app is open, it switches what the keys show to match. Like, so the way that I have it is it opens up Skype and then that shows me, now Stream Deck then shows me different things to open up, like the Google Doc that we use. So I don't have it automated in the same way that you do. I still just have like lots of buttons, but you can go very deep. I found out that URL schemes that you can use on iOS to deep link into apps also work on the Mac often. And so I could basically make deep links into things using URL schemes on my Stream Deck. So I have like a whole series where I can go into like the today view or the someday view of my task manager straight from the Stream Deck, which is pretty cool. It can do stuff like specifically for streaming. Like I can see in real time, like comments coming in and approve them from there. So it's very good if you are doing like Zoom calls and things like that. I do wish it was possible to change cameras in Zoom. Like that's the thing that I would love to be able to do, but I have Zoom in general has been kind of all over the place with security stuff. So I'm not sure if that's the best idea right now, but there's like Zapier or If This and That integration. So it is kind of like, I am almost remiss to say that if you want to use shortcuts, but only use a Mac, like this is like a physical Siri shortcuts type of thing for the Mac, and you can do a lot there and it sits on your desk and it kind of becomes part of your setup. So it's pretty impressive. Like one of my goals is to try to do everything that I can do in shortcuts on the Stream Deck, also on macOS at some point.
see with the next version of macOS if that'll be possible.
I mean, that's the thing, is like if there was some type of shortcuts for Mac thing, that would be a lot easier. But I think even just for me, it's like I want to be able to do my work wherever I sit down. And if I already have the process aligned and know that it can be automated, like Mac, a lot of scripting apps do have deeper integration there where you can do more like controlling the UI and things like that. So that could be pretty cool. It's like half the time the problem is figuring out just what the workflow is itself. And then when you get to be someone like me, building the integration hopefully doesn't take as long. It's Stream Deck is very, very cool. Like I'm still always kind of just surprised that more people didn't latch onto this for Mac automation stuff, but they've been slowly adding more and more of these plugins, even just this year. So that could be part of it. We're trailblazers there, Micah.
Yes. I hope more people realize the power of this and get into it. And I hope that soon, because otherwise I'm going to have to learn how to do, not Elgato, but Corsair, makes available the way to create your own custom plugins. So I'm gonna have to learn some new coding language or something if this doesn't happen, where given the fact that the Home app exists on the Mac, I should be able to add scenes and individual HomeKit control to my Stream Deck. But that's not currently a possibility because the Home app is not integrated. And so if Apple doesn't add that to the Elgato Stream Deck, or if Elgato/Corsair doesn't add that themselves, then I guess I'm just going to have to learn how to do it. And then I'll have to figure it out and do it myself. In any case, I really want that because, again, I know I could do that through If This Then That, but that requires pinging to the server and then coming back down, and I would like to have it just local area network. So that's the reason to do that. So we shall see. But
I'm upset. I'm almost upset now that you put that idea in my head, because I was just sitting here going like this because I was like, if we did just get something like shortcuts for Mac and HomeKit all control in there and things like that, like, holy moly. Like, that's what I do love WWDC week
if you do that.
Because, like, that was something that I just kind of like got from temporarily working at Apple for a bit, is just like what we see as like the limits of what this technology can do. is only like because of what they've been able to do so far. And so it's always super exciting because like they just don't have, I mean, like as long as they can make it work for a large population, that's usually like the biggest problem. But then it's just like, oh man, they could do some cool stuff. I'm super excited. Smart home stuff alone. And then it's just like, I don't know. I can't even think of half the stuff that they're probably going to do. So that's like, what's so fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, folks, we're going to be recording like right after the State of the Union next week, I think it is.
Yeah, that will be.
And that's like, that's the second half of what the WWDC keynote usually is. It's kind of like the more technical aspect, but
yes,
I have a feeling we'll be wanting to pay attention to that too. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. I used to write these recap of the State of the Union for iMore. So I always watch the State of the Union if I can, because you learn so much there. Leo and I will be covering the event live during the event earlier that day on Monday. I don't know if we've announced that yet, but surprise, it's been announced. And then you and I will be talking about it afterward too. And don't worry, folks out there that are, you know, not here to listen about Apple, we'll be talking about other stuff too. But in terms of any smart home, HomeKit stuff that is announced, we will be talking about that on this show, particularly with what's covered at the State of the Union. So yeah, stay tuned for that. If you have feedback, questions, et cetera, you can send those to stt@twit.tv. Of course, don't forget to subscribe if you aren't currently. You just head to twit.tv/stt, and you can subscribe to the show in its various formats, both audio and video, on so many different podcast apps and services, be it Spotify or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, etc. We record this show live every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, which is 2300 UTC. And if you want to hang out with us live, you just do that at twit.tv/live. And that will show you, of course, the live stream, depending on what happens to be on, over on Twitch as well at twitch.tv/twit. Matthew Castanelli, if folks want to follow you so they can find your predictions for WWDC, where do they go?
You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Castanelli, and then I will definitely be doing some streams myself next week, and I'm going to be like kicking videos back into gear. So youtube.com/Matthew Castanelli.
Beautiful. You can find me online at Micah Sargent on pretty much all of the social media platforms, or head to chihuahua.coffee. That's chihuahua.coffee, which has links to my different social media platforms and the different work that I've done online. Again, please don't forget to subscribe to the show if you're not already. And if you're watching us here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit that like thumb thingy, and smash that bell. Yeah. Smosh the bell. We appreciate it. All right, folks. It is time to say goodnight to your smart assistants, even if it's on that new Belkin speaker, which ostensibly works with the Google Assistant. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night, my sweet rabbits.
Hey, I'm Jason Howell, host of Hands on Android, a techie look at how to customize your Android device, as well as take a look underneath the hood and see what's really going on down there. You can subscribe by going to twit.tv/HOA, or you can find Hands on Android in your podcatcher of choice.